sharing the word and providing a time of respite. I want to thank all of you for sending Melissa and I to the Pastors and Wives Conference. We went to the great big city of Akron, Ohio, and got to see my old pastor that I sat under for four years, and he's the one that mentored me, and it was great seeing him and being a part of just a conversation, because his girls, who were 16, were in my youth group, and now they're all grown up and they have kids. And he's the same person he was back when I knew him a long time ago, and so I appreciate that. Jesus was dealing with all kinds of things when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about murder, he's talked about lust, he's talked about adultery, and now Jesus is telling us to tell the truth, to be honest. And honesty is always the best policy, amen? And I have three words for you. Keep your word, and then keep from swearing. Don't jump there yet. I want to prepare everybody. Keep your word. Keep from swearing. Unnecessary, frivolous oaths is what Jesus is basically telling people. Kingdom people are to be honest people, but people have become very slick in the way that they dealt with each other. Kind of like what we are. You remember when you were a kid? Do you promise? Do you swear? Do you pinky swear? Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Some of you, I heard Tommy Denton say, tell the truth, look the devil in the eye. And I'd never heard that before. There must be something in Texas about that. But it's important for us to tell the truth and to keep our word and to keep from making frivolous oaths and swearing. And then number three is keep it simple. To let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's what Jesus says. So it ought to be easy, right? It should be black and white for us. But we know that we have a hard time with this. But really, if we're honest and we're telling the truth, truth is good. We depend on truth in our community, especially God's people, to be truthful. Your bond is your word, as they say. There's an article called Overcoming the Pinocchio Syndrome. Everybody knows who Pinocchio was, or probably should know, but he says, Sir Nichols writes, use whatever creative description you want. He's talking about how we tell lies, and we kind of don't really say we're lying. We come up with terms like reality augmentation, strategic misrepresentation, terminological inexactitude. I can't even say that. Not being truthful and the problems that it creates is a no new use, no new issue. Neither is it limited to our culture. Remember Pinocchio, who shunned Jiminy Cricket's advice and decided that lying was the way to avoid trouble. And that's what we do sometimes if we're approval people. We don't want to disappoint people, so we kind of fudge it. Yes, you were great. That was awesome. Oh, for a Christian, we'll say, yes, that was a blessing. You're a real blessing. I remember a guy talking to me about he was giving me an estimate of how I did, and he said, you're a diamond in the rough, Pastor Jack. You're getting like a piece of coal, and someday you're going to be as shiny as a diamond. That one you have to think about, because, like, you know, you don't really know if that was a good thing or not. You know, am I still looking like the coal? But he says, Jiminy Cricket, his nose was growing, we're talking about Pinocchio now. His growing nose has become a universal symbol for dishonesty. If it only really worked that way, there'd be a lot of people running around with awfully big noses. Deception has become accepted and norm in our culture, current culture. We may not have the noses for it, but we're living in the midst of a Pinocchio syndrome, to borrow a phrase from Rubel Shelley. We tend to minimize what the Bible takes very seriously, which is lying. So number one is keep your word. Chapter 5, verse 33 says these words, again you have heard it, that it was said of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform it to the Lord what you have sworn. You can hear basically do what you said, right? And keep your word. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, don't swear falsely. Swearing oaths and perjuring basically all come from the same thing. And an oath is simply this. It is making a statement and calling God to witness to the truth of that statement and invoking a curse from God if in fact you're not telling the truth. We do it, right? We swear. We swear. We say, I swear to God it's the truth. You go into court, you put your hand on a Bible, I swear to tell the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. And then we add this, so help me God. When you get married, you say, before God and these witnesses. We said that, Melissa and I said, I give you this ring. God and these witnesses. And we vowed to keep his promises. You're invoking God as a witness to the veracity of a lifelong vow that you're making. What happens when we swear, we give an oath? We are saying it's more binding, right? And we do this in a lot of occupations. Doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm, right? And it goes back to antiquity when they started doing that. Do no harm. And we expect people to tell the truth. Our society cannot run unless it's truthful. Community will break down. Officers take a vow or an oath to serve and to protect. Banks are held to a high standard of truth, aren't they not? Fidelity is usually in that word. Faithfulness over your money. We expect them to hold to what they say they'll do, right? Keep my money there. I'll draw interest on it. They'll give me money, and then they'll provide that money when I need it. Think about if that gets shaky, what happens? Think about it. It would be awful. Matthew Henry writes, this is said to them of the old time. You notice what he does. He always keeps going back to the old time. In other words, it was said in the Old Testament that its true intent and the meaning of the third commandment, thou shalt not use or take up the name of God as we do by an oath or in vain or unto vanity or a lie. That's what an oath is. But we have the risk of perjuring ourselves. If you perjure yourself in a court of law, you will get into trouble. There's a lot of people in jail for lying. So when you think about it, on the positive side, what is God saying? Do what you said. Keep your word. Notice what it says. The word perform is in there in chapter 5, verse 33. You shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. What does performance mean? You do it with care. When you say you're going to do something, you do it with care. You do it with commitment. You make sure you follow through. And you do it to completion. You do it well, and you do it to completion. You do what you said you were going to do. Don't make any promises that you don't intend to keep. Now, again, if we are an approving kind of person, we may say, we may be tempted to fudge it, right? When they ask us about the job or what we're doing and stuff. So we want their approval. So we say things that we don't really mean, or we kind of fudge the truth. We kind of lie, right? Isn't that what it is? We kind of make up a little bit, or like kind of just nudge it over just a hair. It's not a big lie, Lord. It's a white lie, right? Your mother used to tell you what those little marks were on your fingernails. Now, if you're a control person, as long as you're in control, you don't mind as long as you're in control. But if you start to lose control, if you're that type of person and you're out of control, you won't want to seem out of control, so you'll kind of lie in what happened to you, right? You'll make up something. Like, hey, can you come over this weekend? Oh, no, I'll be out of town when you're not out of town. Or tell them I'm not there when you're on the, you know, somebody calls. Tell them I'm not there. And your kid will look at you and go, oh, you want me to lie to him? No, no, that's not what I'm saying. Just, I don't want to talk right now. Just tell them I'm not here. And so we teach our kids to lie. And then before you know it, you know, you're leading people down the wrong path here. So you got to keep your word, perform it, care, completion, commitment. Do what you said. Remember what God said? Do it as if you're working for me. Don't leave things unfinished. And we said earlier that doctors, we rely on doctors to do no harm. We rely on commerce. Commerce requires trust, doesn't it? The trading of goods and services, commodities, our banking and fiduciary commitments have to be guarded. There has to be a trust there. Presidents put their hand on the Bible. They swear on the Bible. It's been going back since Washington. The oath of the office. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will do to my best of my ability to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, swearing on the Bible. Basically, it was seen as promising God you would do what you swear to do, with the fear of God punishing you if you don't keep your vow, your oath, and you break your oath. Proverbs 24:3 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place?" Verse 4 of 24, it says, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully." So keep your word. Jesus thought it was important. He even told his parable of a young man who had two sons. He says, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And after he answered, 'I will not.' But afterwards, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said that same. The other son said, 'I will go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom before you." Remember that he's telling the Pharisees, your righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And that you need to understand that you have to keep your word. And it's not just a matter of acting and looking like it on the outside, but the inward affections of the heart has to be truthful. And then the outward actions follow. So we have to keep our word, do what we promise. Number two, we have to keep from swearing. Not swearing as cussing. I mean, we shouldn't swear. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about we shouldn't have coarse talk, but some people take this as swearing, just, you know, cursing, coarse talk. Coarse talk covers a lot of things, so we have to be careful of that. But here, Jesus is saying, verse 34, keep from swearing and making an oath, a frivolous oath. And so it's important for us to understand what they were doing. They were basically saying out in public, you know, they were swearing by all kinds of things, but not going as close as they could as of the edge of calling on God's name, but just not committing. It says, "But I say to you, do not take an oath." In King James Version, it says, "Swear not at all." "But I say to you, unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne." Don't swear by heaven. Notice they start up high and they come down. "Don't swear by earth, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." He's quoting from Isaiah 61, verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place for my rest?" By verse 36, he says, "Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, by heaven, the throne of God." You can't make your head, your hair on your head, white or black. He's saying basically you're swearing on your life. You're saying to them, "I swear by heaven it's true. I'm not mentioning God, but I'm talking about heaven." So it gives it some force. But it's not really, you're still swearing, and God is still brought into the problem to your oath, you see. It's like the man that I heard about that was committing, he was having affairs on his wife, and he would go down around his house and put down all the pictures of his wife. Why? Because they represented her and her presence. But he's still married. He still took a vow to forsake all others, right? And some people, they when they do it this way, they think they can take God's picture and, and fold it down, that as if he's not hearing and seeing what you're saying. You can't do that. And is Jesus saying really that he doesn't want us swearing? The religious leaders of the day advocated keeping a vow, if it was a public vow, using God's name. However, if the vow was made in the course of everyday conversation, referencing only heaven or earth or Jerusalem, it was not really binding. They had a loophole. They could lie and exaggerate in their conversations and lend themselves to an air of credibility by saying, "I swear by heaven." That is true. They could not be held to account because they did not specifically swear by God's name and the vow was private. And Jesus is countering that. He says, you need to tell the truth. You need to keep your word. Just because you don't swear on the stack of Bibles or you don't swear on your mother's grave, you're still supposed to tell the truth. You see, that's what God is saying here. Don't take meaningless oaths in order to create a loophole. Keep your word. Do what you said you would do. Do it with care, commitment, and completion. Keep from making oaths that are frivolous, that are not really, you're not really planning on holding to them. You're allowing yourself some wiggle room, as they say. The word of a Christian is to be held in high honor. So it describes who you are. People get an idea of what kind of a person you are. I always tell the mechanic, be honest. You'll be the busiest mechanic in the business if you'll keep your word. What happens if you don't keep your word? What happens if you don't tell the truth, when you don't act truthfully? It starts to erode and hollow things out. You start to be known as somebody who lacks integrity. When we lack integrity, what happens when there's a lack of integrity? Tim Keller is who I learned this from. He says, what happens if there's a lack of integrity? Truth is trampled underfoot. Keller says, if you are not a person of integrity, every act that lacks integrity, there are four things that happen, four massive problems that happen. Every time you act with a lack of integrity, you destroy human community. One scholar put it like this: imagine a society which no one trusts, anyone to keep a promise, in which every leader would be expected to lie as a matter of course, every teacher an academic cheat, every preacher a moral fraud, in which all contracts would not be honored. No partner could bank on the loyalty of another. No one could make decisions and expect the facts in hand. Life would be brutalized. We could go from community to a jungle. Now, just dealing with some of the countries that we deal with where our missionaries are, people get frustrated because they can't even send mail for the postage. They will send the mail, and then you have to allow for somebody to maybe take some of the stuff that you sent. Or they will tax the people when they go to pick up the package. More money because they're being dishonest. It becomes not a community. You see, it destroys human community. Every single act is eating away. We know there are places like this in the world, and they are miserable places to live. Lawlessness rules the day. Might makes right. There is no honor. There is no community. You see how important the truth is? Honesty truly is the best policy. Number two, every act that lacks integrity is also eating away at human identity. Who are you? Who are you? If people asked who you are, how do we know? The only way to answer that is to find what is always true about you. You have many roles. You have many hats. Something you say, something you do always stays the same. That's how we know who you are. That's how we know who you are. Whenever people have lied or because they have had an affair or embezzled money or were addicted to drugs and alcohol, they don't just feel guilty, Keller says. He's had so many people sit down and say and put their head in their hands and say, "I don't know who I am." Why? Why don't they know who they are? What happens when we lie? He says this: because when you always do what is most advantageous to you, you lie or you always play to the crowd, you always cheat in the end, there is no you left. There's no you left. When you lie to someone, you are using people and turning them into objects, violating their dignity. What is wrong with a lie? Well, when there's a lack of integrity, And then community is destroyed and identity is torn away. Human dignity is destroyed. Joy David in a book says there are lies of gossip that make haters out of us. There are lies of advertising that make money out of us. There are lies in politics that make power out of us. In other words, lies turn people into objects to be used. The end justifies the means. Latin, the adjective, some of you know this because you're math scholars, but an integer is a whole number, meaning whole or complete. In the context, integrity is the inner sense of wholeness. The Latin word for integer, and that the Latin word comes out integrity. It's integral. It's whole, deriving from qualities such as honesty and consistency of character. That's wholeness. As such, one may judge that others have integrity to the extent that they act according to their values, beliefs, and principles they claim to hold. A person who lacks integrity and wholeness is fractured. They're divided. So integrity is important. Now, it destroys human community, it destroys human identity, it destroys human dignity. But eventually what happens? It puts you on a collision course for reality. The truth will eventually run into you. Right? It will. And so it's important for us, when you're different all the time, when people begin to mistrust you, it destroys human community, destroys human identity, it destroys human dignity and puts you in a collision course with reality. And that includes pastors. Pastors say one thing and live another way. It eats away at their integrity. It has the potential to eat away with the community. It eats away at human identity and it catches up with them. Eventually, you are caught by the truth. When there is a disconnect with you, you say you are who you really are, will catch up to you. The truth will eventually find you out. Proverbs 12:19 says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. So telling the truth is a good thing, right? I mean, that's what we teach our kids, and that's what our society, it's one of the foundations of society. So keep your word. Keep from swearing, making frivolous oaths. But keep it simple. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 37. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more comes from evil. James chapter 5, verse 12 picks up on this. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Jesus is not saying you can't take an oath. The Bible is filled with covenants and oaths, and Paul takes an oath, God takes an oath. If someone requires you to take an oath, then you, yes, can take you the, I'm sorry, take an oath, then yes, you can take the oath, but if you don't take an oath, you are not bound by it. You did not put your hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth so you can get away with it. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's basically saying, what you say is held, it's bound. Whether you put your hand on the Bible or not, God is present. You can't turn his picture over. It doesn't matter whether you swear by heaven or earth, or by Jerusalem, or by the hairs on your head. You're violating the truth. You are violating, you're sinning against God. Take the test. Do you say one thing and do another? Are you one way in public and another way in private? Are you one way on Sunday and then wake up on Monday different? Charles Stanley said this morning as plain as day, you'll never be able to live by the Word of God if you don't open the Word of God. If you live Monday through Saturday, you don't open this Bible, and then Sunday you walk in and boom, plop it open, you'll never be able to live the Christian life. And so this is important for us to understand. God wants us to be above board. He wants us to tell the truth. He wants us to be in our heart honest. He says, if you say anything more comes from evil. Now, here's an interesting thing. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Go out and do it. Here's the problem. We can't do it without Jesus and understanding the gospel. When the Bible says keep the truth, keep your word. When the Bible says that do what you swear, you don't make false oaths. Why? Because the word is cost. You're going to pay. And I got this from Tim Keller, so I want you to know. I think it's awesome. Because I think it's understanding. He says if you're an approval person, you'll be tempted to fudge it because you don't want people. You want their approval. You'll tell them how great they are because you don't want them to not like you. You don't want them to hurt your feeling. You don't want to hurt their feelings. If you're a control person, you may be tempted to act like you're always in control and you don't want people to know you're not in control. If you knew what my life was like this past week, you would just like go nuts if you were in my head. I went to the doctor on the day before and he took me into the office. I didn't know I was getting a physical. He says, here's a flu shot and a shingle shot. And I'm thinking I'm going to be 55 tomorrow. He's looking at my age, telling me about my blood work and how bad everything's going to be. I wish he would have lied. No, we don't want that, do we? We want our doctors to be honest, don't we? If he was seeking my approval, if he was seeking to control me, that wouldn't be good. He's to do no harm. Here's the thing. In John chapter 18, when they kept asking Jesus who he was, he told the truth. And it cost him everything. It cost him his life. He sacrificed for telling the truth. And because we don't tell the truth. And he's willing to give us his righteousness and cover us in a robe that we don't deserve. When we think about trying to keep this, see, the Pharisees are learning that their righteousness was not that righteous. They thought they were great. They're not that great. They thought they were good. They're not that good. Jesus is saying you got to come to Jesus. You got to come to Christ. You got to trust in God's grace and his mercy. He wants to give it to you. You're fooling yourself. You're lying to yourself. You think you're able to keep this up. To make yourself do the right things. To earn your way into heaven. You're fooling yourself. He says, you've got to come to me. You've got to submit yourself to me. And Jesus wants us to live like no one else because he lived like no one else. And be conformed into his likeness. So whether you swear or not swear, tell the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Keep your word. Keep from making swivelous oaths. But if you do, do it to completion. Do it with commitment. Do it with care and concern. In Jesus, there is no condemnation. Praise God for that. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about it, it's an awesome thing to be able to preach your word and teach it. We pray that now we could live by it. That includes the preacher at the pulpit. Lord, help us to live. Help us to avoid half-truths, avoiding lies and omissions of truth. Help us to become known that who we are is trustworthy and true because Jesus was trustworthy and true and that he died for us. We thank you, Lord, for your word and that it comes into our hearts and works inside of us from the inside out. So, Lord, I pray, God, for each one here that you, friend, would come to Christ. You can't earn this. You just have to come and believe and trust in Jesus. Put your hand of faith in the hand of grace. His mercy is new every morning. He's willing to give you that. He's willing to give you a robe and a ring, just like the prodigal son, and welcome you home. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are in Christ? Saved. No longer to fear of condemnation. There will be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know who you are? There will be no separation. No separation, because you are His. You are His part of His kingdom. You are His kid. He will never leave you or forsake you. He invites you to come to Him. I invite you to come to Him and receive forgiveness. And Lord, I pray for your help. We all recognize that we fall short of this. We try not to hurt feelings. We try to act like we're always in control, and we're not. So Lord, I pray for your help, that we will tell the truth and nothing but the truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rise and sing.
As you rise,